First, what have you used the public library for? Every day people go to the library to job search, to do genealogical research, to find a new book to read or DVD to watch, to escape the cold, to have a place to sit, and the list goes on and on. 65% of Americans say public libraries, quote, help them grow as people. The public library goes far beyond books, and it reaches Americans of all kinds in rural and urban spaces. And we want to know whether the public library has helped you grow as a person. Why is the library special to you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 to share what you like about the library. You can also leave us a comment on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nicholas Butler is the author of several novels, including the recently published Little Faith. He lives in Eau Claire, and he recently wrote an essay about his appreciation of the public library for Volume 1. It's a Chippewa Valley-based publication that was originally a spoken word piece. Nicholas, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So what is it about the public library that inspired you to write what's really kind of a love letter to it?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, my friend Julian Emerson, who's a journalist in Eau Claire, kind of organized an evening where different artists in Eau Claire talked about poverty, and I thought, I don't know, how do you write something about poverty? We're all against it, but what's a new sort of angle? And for me, I think one of the most striking ways of observing poverty and observing the way a way in which you can sort of non-judgmentally help people in a tough position was looking at our public library. I do a lot of work at the L.E. Phillips Public Library in Eau Claire. I sort of use it as my office, and through many afternoons of sitting there, I just see all the different people that come there for all sorts of different reasons. And so that's what I chose to write about in that spoken word piece.
And Nicholas, can you read your essay for us?
Yeah, it's pretty long. It's maybe a little longer than we'd want to read on the radio, so I'll read about three paragraphs.
Okay.
Libraries are the best of America. Do you know that in most countries around the world, libraries are rarer than rubies? There are no small-town libraries, even in oldest Europe. Libraries are an American promise, and through the library door, a democracy shambles in, the poorest and the richest. Everyone's library card looks the same. No one's voice is louder than anyone else's. No one's money really matters. Return your books on time. Keep your promises. Lend, borrow, share, pay your penalties. Forgive those who can't pay. Every 7 cycles there should be a jubilee of forgiveness. No delusions. You never have to read Shakespeare here, but you can. You can file your taxes or not. You can apply for a job or simply work a crossword puzzle. You can listen to Dvorak or Miles Davis or Megadeth or Metallica. Just ease those earphones onto your head. The bathroom is clean. Use it. Wash your hands. Wash your face. Here's a mirror. Part your hair. Brush your teeth. You'll feel better. I know you will.
Thank you for reading that. And you also talk in your essay about being warm in the library, and I took that in two very different ways, that, as you said, people who might not have a fixed dwelling can go there and stay warm during, say, a cold Wisconsin winter. But there's also a sense of warmth being surrounded by your neighbors and all of these resources that are available to you just because you're there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as Wisconsinites, we just endured a historically brutal winter, and there's only so many public places for folks to go when weather is that brutal. And I think for a lot of people, you know, the public library is just a place to pick up that book that you're getting before you go on vacation. But there's a lot of other people that use it for a lot of different reasons, including just a place to get out of the cold. And so that's certainly one really practical aspect of it. The other part for me as a book person is, you know, I feel better surrounded by books. And I feel better surrounded by people that care about books. So there's certainly that feeling of comfort as well.
We asked people on Facebook about what they think of with their public library, and Liz wrote, "Libraries seem like magic to me. I actually get for free access to one of my favorite things, books." And Nicholas, it sounds like even today the library has a certain kind of magic for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I'm a professional writer. I don't teach, and a big, big champions of mine are librarians. So there's certainly that. But also, when I was a boy growing up in Eau Claire, I would read a certain, group of kids' books, like the Berenstain Bears or the Little Critters series or something, and then I would get bored and want to find the next thing, and it was always my mom who was going to the public library, talking to librarians and trying to figure out what was the next thing that was going to sort of, push me along and keep me excited. So libraries have always been, a big part of, not just my life, but my family. And I think I have to credit librarians for where I am now, to be honest.
We're talking with Nicholas Butler right now. He's the author of several novels, including the recently published Little Faith. He lives in Eau Claire, and he recently wrote an essay about his appreciation of the public library for Volume 1. That's a Chippewa Valley-based publication. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. And let's go to the phone, and Eugene is in Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Well, good afternoon. I don't know what I would do without a public library in a small village of about 700. I use it all the time. Basically, I use the internet. I don't have a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the books I read come off WPR, NPR. And the first thing I do when I go to the library is check my Gmails. And after that, I go to NPR and check the news and see what's up, pretty much. And then I go to BBC.
So it's really a valuable resource in several ways for you, Eugene.
I don't know. Like I said, I got into collecting books. I got about 1,800.
Wow. Well, you have your own little library there, Eugene. So it's interesting, Nicholas. What Eugene is saying is that, like you said, libraries are the best of America. Even small towns have a library, Eugene was saying, in a community of 700. Can you talk about that, Nicholas? What role libraries play in all different types of American communities?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are in sort of Eugene's position. It's so expensive to just, to have your, pay for a landline, pay for a cell phone, pay for your TV, pay for your internet, all that stuff. And if you're trying to be sort of fiscally responsible, I think a lot of people end up, just going to the library where they can get a lot of those services for free, and it's fantastic. For me, one thing that was really eye-opening is since I've been writing, I'm very fortunate I get to travel to Europe to help promote my books, and I would be going to a lot of small European towns and ask where the library was, and the people were sort of confused. They mm-hmm. thought that I meant a bookstore. And I really realized that what we have in America is special. And when you grow up in Wisconsin, where there are so many small towns, you just sort of take for granted that you have a place to, like you said, pick up DVDs, pick up books, check your email, all those sorts of things. But it's not something that's everywhere else in the world. It's truly an American institution, and we're so lucky to have it. And that was part of the reason why I wrote the piece, too, I think we often overlook the library, and I want people to understand what a treasure they have and, that it's important to fund these things, too.
One of the things that Eugene mentioned was going to the library to use the internet, to use a computer. And Dana on Facebook wrote that that she was finding out that Wisconsin income tax forms will no longer be mailed out and are strictly by email, or income tax statements, rather. She knows many who do not have internet access at home. And so libraries and their free internet are such a vital public benefit. And I think that also points to the fact that libraries have really changed their offerings and their services as patrons' needs have changed. I mean, I remember a time, and I'm not that old, when it was really unusual to see movies in a library, and now that's one of the main things that is available.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I'm not sure how old you are, but I grew up and there was, Best Buys and all sorts of places to rent videos, and that's sort of gone away. We're on vacation right now, and before we left, I picked up 10 books on tape for our children to listen to on the drive down down here for vacation. And I think it's, for me, I don't really judge whether it's, you know, books or movies or books on tapes. To me, it's all storytelling. And I think one thing that's fantastic about the library is that it really doesn't judge what you're there for. You know, you want to take out CDs, that's fine. You want to take out movies, you want to take out books or poetry, whatever, it's fine. No one is judging you at all. They're just kind of concerned with helping you consume stories and news and information.
We're talking with Nicholas Butler. He's author of several books, including The Hearts of Men and his latest, Little Faith. He's from Eau Claire, and he wrote about his love for the public library in a short essay for Volume 1. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you like about the library? In what ways has it helped you in your life? What's one of your favorite library experiences? Has it taught you things? If you're a librarian, what are some of the most interesting requests you've received? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation after this short break. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Nicholas Butler. He's an Eau Claire-based author of several novels. His newest book called Little Faith just came out this month. And we're talking about his essay for Volume 1 called The Public Library and why the library is about so much more than books. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Tell us about a time you were happy the library existed. Why is the library special to you? And do you have a favorite library? If you work in a library, we'd love to hear your perspective as well. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Nicholas, I wanted to go back to something that you said right before we took a little break. You talked about picking up books for you and your kids before leaving on vacation. And Ryan on Facebook says, I love my city's library and especially how it's linked to multiple other libraries via the InfoSoup network. I have access to books that I wouldn't normally read if I had to pay for them all. And it's also awesome for children's books I read to my kids. And I think the element of children is such an important aspect of this. I mean, it's great to buy books. Children's books, any books, can be pretty expensive. And especially if, like you were saying, your mother did, if you're trying to, you know, keep feeding your kids a regular diet of books that suit their interests and their reading level, that could be difficult for a family that doesn't have a lot of extra income.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and I think a lot of parents out there can certainly understand you read a book and you know, to your child, oftentimes you're done in 10 minutes. And you've spent a lot of money on that book.
Right.
And there's those treasured books that you certainly read, you know, Goodnight Construction Site. I've read that book probably 500 times. That was money well spent. And I certainly don't want to dissuade anyone from buying books because that's how I make my living. But there's a lot of folks out there to whom $20 is an impossible amount of money to spend on a book. And what better way than to go to the library? You can fill your arms with books, and you can sort of test drive it too. You know, that doesn't mean that you're not going to find like a treasured book there and end up buying it too. That's always something I tell people too. Like, I never feel bad if people check my books out from the library, because I'm pretty confident they're going to like them and maybe they'll buy something else. But yeah, I can totally sympathize with the person that wrote in with that comment. Absolutely.
Let's go to the phones, and Jack is in Hustisford, which is in Dodge County. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to share?
Well, a few things. Hustisford is actually the location. It's hard to say, but it's a nice little town. They have a great library that they built, I don't know, probably 15 years ago or so, and it's by far the best thing, I think, in the whole community. Everybody uses it. Our grandchild, we take her in there. She not only gets enriched by the books, but she goes over to the corner and plays with all the stuffed animals because they got book characters and all these stuffed animals and puppets. And so it's really good for that. And they, of course, as said before, they to provide computer access to people who need it, and a lot of people do that. And another thing that I am really enamored with is you can get any book you want. It only takes a few days. We're in a shared library system, and my wife, for example, she's really an avid reader. They print out these receipts for you, and on the bottom it tells how much you've saved if you went out and bought all these books.
Oh, wow.
In a year, I think she saved about $10,000 or something. I'm not kidding.
And we'll leave it there, Jack. I want to make sure we can get some other callers on. But that's an interesting idea because, Nicholas, you were saying people, you really want people to support their libraries. And you know, sometimes it comes down to the bottom line.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's, but, you know, I mean, if you love your library, it's not, you know, I think a lot of people feel intimidated about sort of charitable giving. And oftentimes it's just like, look, just a little gesture helps too. The library is going to be appreciative of a $25 donation or a $50 donation. And part of it is feeling just invested in that community institution too. You know, you give a little bit and you sort of feel like you're more a part of something. So I just, part of the reason for writing the essay is just like, I want people to understand what they have is truly a treasure and don't take it for granted.
Let's go back to the phones, and Irv is in Arborvitae. Hi, Irv.
Hi. Speaking of an investment, Vilas County has about 27,000 people. We have 8 libraries in our county. Manitouche Water is a relatively new one, expanding. Boulder Junction, Presque Isle, or Winchester, rather, Land O'Lakes, Eagle River, and then Arborvitae shares a library with the town of Minocqua. But it's also a great place for tourism because we're really big in tourism up here. We have all kinds of folks who go there with their children, who go there to check in on their with their internet computer. It's just an exceptional investment. The towns are all incredibly filled with pride about their libraries. It's a meeting place oftentimes when there's a need for a meeting. It's a place for workshops and seminars. It's part of what I consider to be one of the valued increments, valued items for a democracy. So.
Thank you so much for that comment, Irv. And I wanted to share that Natalie, the producer who put together this segment, Nicholas, told me that she has about 4 different library cards for the places she's lived in the state and 1 for up north when she goes camping. She really loves public libraries. And Irv was saying it's not just for the local community, but it's for visitors as well.
Yeah, well, that caller was representing what is truly a great chain of libraries. I've been up there to do a reading, and they are really proud of their facilities. And, you know, as a kid who would summer up in Michigan's UP with my grandparents, you know, on a beautiful day up there, we were out in the lake or, you know, chasing animals in the forest. But the thing is, there's also those rainy days where as a grandparent or a parent, you're sort of struggling to figure out what to do on vacation, and the library is definitely a refuge or a sanctuary on those days. Absolutely.
And our listener, Carol in Eau Claire, said that the best vacation would be in a library for a week with a coffee maker and a salad bar. So there you go. That's the idea of a vacation, right?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Joe in Washburn emailed and said, public libraries are simply the last vestige of education, knowledge, and information that is available to all, no matter their circumstance or economic status. And that's really kind of at the heart of your essay.
Yeah, it is. And I have to say another thing that I try to communicate in the essay is that we live in a really politically divisive time. Everybody is pretty up in arms, but the wonderful thing about the library is that it's completely nonpartisan, and it's non-judgmental, and it's one of those places that I think is essential in a democracy for gathering information and for making yourself a brighter person. And also, by the way, no one's taking sides. You know, it's just part of the community. It's there to help you figure out who you want to be as like a best case citizen. And that's one thing that I really love about it, too.
Nicholas, you said that you do a lot of your work in libraries. And I guess I was a little surprised just because they can be. I think the stereotype is, you know, they're silent and, you know, there's a librarian shushing you. But really, they're very lively places that are full of energy. And I'm guessing that you must like that because you kind of draw on that energy. It's not the distraction that it could seem to be.
Yeah, I guess it goes back to like the idea of a library as a democracy. Like, yeah, there's definitely days where I'm, you know, typing away on my computer and I'm listening to conversations from some guys that are over at the computer, and I wish that everybody was being quieter? Sure, but it's also, you know, a person has to be careful that they don't insulate themselves away from reality. And to me, the library is part, it's very much like our reality as a democracy. Like, not everybody's going to be quiet all the time, and not everyone can be appropriate, and there's different points of view, and I think you get that in a library. And also, I try to not make excuses. I just do the work, you know, and I find the library to be a peaceful place, and if I need some sort of inspiration, there's millions of books at my fingertips. So I've always loved it as a sort of ad hoc office.
Do you find yourself interacting with other library patrons when you're there?
I wouldn't say that. One wonderful thing about being a writer is that nobody knows who I am. I'm just there to do my work. I do interact with librarians a little bit because sometimes I have questions or research for future work. But I'm there to just kind of keep my head down and do my job.
Well, Nick, thanks so much for joining us and for writing the essay. I think it really resonated with a lot of us.
Oh, I appreciate it. I appreciate your time, and don't forget to support your local library.
All right. Nicholas Butler is an Eau Claire-based author of several novels, including his latest that just came out this month called Little Faith. He wrote about his appreciation for the public library in an essay for Volume 1. That's a Chippewa Valley-based publication. You can hear more from Nicholas, maybe even at a public library on his book tour. You can find the details and where he'll be at nicholasbutler.com, and Nicholas is spelled NICK. K-O-L-A-S.